There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of NFL Friday, WFUV's podcast for all things National Football League. Joe Henry, Kate Cox, Thomas Tisdale, your host today, taking you through week 15 and 16 of the season, guys. With 3 weeks left to go, only two teams have clinched a playoff spot. And on the other side, final season wrapping up. It's the most wonderful time of year. How are we feeling on an NFL Thursday afternoon?
Pretty good. All my finals are over. I'm home. It's nice. Very cold here. I live in Vermont, so it's been freezing out, but the sun is out, which has been really nice, and it's good to see my family. Definitely happy to be done with the school year. It's been a lot.
I unfortunately am not done with the school year yet. I have one more final tomorrow, and then I'm stuck here till Saturday night, but I'm excited to go home, excited to relax for a bit, and excited to watch some football.
Mm-hmm. Always a good answer. I got home last night. I got my little Patriots banner in the background. I got all the fat heads. I got Brady. I got Wes Welker. I got Kyle Arrington's back there somewhere. Shout out Kyle Arrington. But yeah, I'm excited to relax a little, be able to watch football as a fan more these next, 1 week, 2 weeks before getting back at it. So yeah, good to take a break, good to dig into football, especially the way things are panning out so far this season. It should be a chaotic week ahead. We'll get to that, but we'll start with last week, which was chaotic in its own right. Week 15 told us, I think, a lot about a lot of different potential playoff teams. The Bills take down the Pats, the Broncos beat the Packers, the Rams beat the Lions, the Chiefs are eliminated from the playoffs by the Chargers, Pat Mahomes tears his ACL, first time KC is going to miss the playoffs since 2014, Phillip Rivers comes back from the dead as a grandpa and nearly leads the Colts to victory over the Seahawks of all teams, one of the wilder Sundays we've had in a long time. But if you guys have one big takeaway, we'll start with Kate, one big takeaway from everything that we saw a few days ago, what would it be?
I guess my biggest one is that the Bears are really good.
Yeah.
And they've been, I think, a huge surprise for us all season. But this game, yet again, I mean, you have the Browns who are kind of going through this really crazy time of going through a bunch of different starting quarterbacks. And they've finally kind of settled on Shedeur Sanders. And the Bears were able to absolutely dominate this Browns team, which I don't think was a surprise, but it was definitely something I wouldn't have said would have definitely happened at the beginning of this season, because I wasn't really sure that where the Bears were going to land. But they were so, so good. I mean, the Bears intercepted Shedeur Sanders 3 times. They had just, the defense was just like on point. And Caleb Williams just had a beautiful game. And he threw a lot of accurate, strong, like long passes, which we love to see. And I don't know. I mean, when you look at this playoff picture, it's so different than what I would have expected at the beginning of this season. There have been so many changes, and the Bears being like second in this hunt behind the Rams, who have already secured their playoff spot, is not where I expected them to be. But coming up on this Packers game, like, this is a team that I never would have expected to be as good as it is today. And that's my biggest takeaway, is the Bears are good. They deserve that recognition. And I only see them getting better the rest of this season.
Yeah, I feel like I'm still not totally bought in on the Bears. And at this point, it's probably a Joe problem. Like, I just, something tells me it's the Chicago Bears my whole life they've been mediocre. Something's just not allowing me to say, okay, this team's a legit contender. But as you said, Kate, they're the 2 seed now. And it's a good point to check in on the standings. Like, there's a lot of teams that you would not have, like, I did not expect the Jaguars to win the AFC South. I certainly didn't expect the Colts to be in contention, although they've kind of fallen off the face of the earth recently. The Texans having a bit of a bounce back year. Chargers, Bills, you kind of expected that. You would have expected the Bills to be better than the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots, one of the biggest stories of the season. You become so accustomed to these teams. Like, Patriots had the 10-game win streak. So you are like, yeah, the Patriots are good. No, going into the year, Patriots were not expected to be a playoff team at all. And the same goes for a team like the Bears. Same goes for a team like the Seahawks, who are 11-3, tied for the best record in the NFC. And then on the other side, you have a team like the Lions, teams like the Ravens, teams that you expected to be shoo-ins for the postseason, currently on the outside looking in. Thomas, your biggest takeaway from week 15?
I just to circle back to the earlier point about the Bears, I'm not, also not fully sold on the Bears yet. I don't trust Caleb Williams yet as a quarterback who's going to go out there and win you a playoff game, but I think he's a solid enough game manager, and I think the Bears have won games that perhaps maybe they shouldn't have. But my main takeaway from week 15, it's 2 games combined. It's the Patriots losing and then the Broncos winning, making it pretty much certain that the Broncos are likely going to be that number one seed. And I'd been skeptical on the Broncos pretty much the entire year. They had a couple of fluky victories, like against the Giants, where they make that enormous like 20-point comeback against like I just don't understand against a Giants team that has been really poor this whole season. Like, why do you have to leave it so late? But this result against the Packers, a good Packers team. Obviously, they lose Michael Parsons, but Bo Nix looked really comfortable. He always looks better at home. And I think with the Broncos likely locking up that number one seed, I think if they can continue to have that home field advantage all the way to the Super Bowl, I think Bo Nix is going to be very comfortable. They obviously have a fantastic defense, and I think their offense. It impressed me enough on Sunday where it could be like, yeah, this offense can go win you a football game against some of those upper echelon AFC teams like the Giants or the Patriots and the Bills, I should say. So the Broncos, I think they finally solidified themselves in my mind as serious Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, the Broncos, one of those teams, along with the Patriots, along with a team like the Bears, that at this point aren't really battling for a playoff spot, but are battling to get people bought in on them. Like, this is a real contender. And the Broncos, for me, I still am not fully bought in. If you ask me, I think the Bills are the team to beat in the AFC at this point. Even if they go in as a wild card, as a road team, I don't think the road is any problem for a team like Buffalo. But my biggest takeaway is, there's as much parity as we've seen in forever in the NFL. And that starts with the Chiefs being out of the playoffs. It's been Pat Mahomes' league for the past several years, and it's not this year. And I think the Rams are a true contender. I think the Bills are a true contender. I don't know if you could say a single other team is like a bona fide contender. I could see any other team losing in the first round of the playoffs this year. And that's honestly, you couldn't ask for anything more as a football fan. And there's not a lot of teams on the outside looking in. There's only five right now: the Colts, the Ravens, the Lions, the Panthers, and the Cowboys. And the Cowboys are effectively eliminated. So the playoff picture is not shored up. There's still plenty of room for movement, and we'll dig into that in just a moment. But maybe there isn't a whole ton of action on the bubble and in the hunt the way there has been in past seasons. But in the playoff picture, not only are there teams that you would have never expected to be where they are, but there's also still plenty of room for movement. And it feels like there's only a couple of teams that have truly convinced us that they are a Super Bowl contender. One of those teams is the LA Rams, and that's where we start in week 16. Plenty of impactful football is going to be played, but it starts tonight. One of the best Thursday night football matchups we've seen in ages. The number one seed in the Rams, the number five seed in the Seahawks, division rivals, both 11-3, tied for the best record in their conference. It's the first time ever, NFL history, that two teams with 11 or more wins are meeting on TNF. And the implications of this one are huge. Davante Adams is doubtful for LA. Charles Cross is out for Seattle on the O-line. So each offense likely missing a key piece. Thomas, what's going to be the difference tonight in a battle between two teams that have been as impressive as any in the entire league?
I think it's just going to be about limiting the turnovers in the like in the earlier matchup this season. I mean, it comes down to a missed field goal from the Seahawks kicker for the LA Rams to pull away with that one. But Sam Darnold had four interceptions and what was easily his worst game as a Seahawks player. So it's about him being more of the game manager type of player that we've seen throughout the season. Like this Seahawks team relies on their defense. They've got a great two-man sort of running back team and Walker and Charbonnet. And I think it's just going to be about, is Darnold able to limit the mistakes that he makes? Because this Rams defense, although not quite as elite as the Seahawks defense is still going to punish you for those mistakes. And Sam Darnold last week was sort of able to get away with sort of a poor performance against a Rivers-led Colts team. But I think Darnold's going to have to really play one of his better games if the Seahawks want that number one seed. And I think there's a lot of advantage of resting. Like you mentioned, I think this NFC playoff picture is absolutely loaded with a lot of great teams, maybe outside of the Bucks and the Panthers. And so I don't see either team wanting that wild card matchup against a potentially double digit win team. So I think this Seahawks team are going to have to limit the turnovers. And then the Rams, it's going to be about what does this offense look like without Devontae Adams? Devontae Adams has been such a key piece with Puka Nacua out for a couple of games in the middle of the season. It's what can Puka do in now that field stuff. I don't know if either of you have caught this, where Puka got banned from streaming in the locker room and he's had to make some apologies. So I'm just a little bit concerned that there's a lot of noise surrounding this Rams team when they really need to be focused on beating the Seahawks team, which is a very dangerous Seahawks team. So if I had to make a prediction, I think the Seahawks team takes it. They're at home. They're feeling comfortable. I just think Sam Darnold has a much better game than he did earlier this season.
Yeah, Rams won 21-19 in week 11. Darnold, you said, four interceptions. Jason Myers had a chance to win it with a 61-yard field goal. Did not. Kate, Matt Stafford has never lost to the Seahawks as a member of the LA Rams. These teams are 28-28 against each other all time. They have each scored 1,185 points against each other. Something's got to give tonight.
Yeah, I agree with Thomas. I think this is the Seahawks' opportunity with so much going on with this Rams team, especially when you have Devontae Adams out. I think the Rams are going to need to pull out those tight ends like Parkinson, Williams, and Corum. But there's also this issue of, like, where do you go when you have your main guy out? And you have those tight ends, but the Seattle has such a strong defense that you can't overlook. They've allowed, I think, 25 points over their past three games and only one touchdown. And I don't know, I feel like this is the game where they're at home. The weather's going to be kind of in their favor of what they're used to playing in. They've got, I think, it kind of on their side tonight, especially with everything that's going on with the Rams and on the outside, like you talked about, Puka, and all that noise. I think this is the opportunity, especially based off of Sam Darnold's last game where, you know, he really did not play well against the Rams. That was, again, you said it was his worst game of the season with four interceptions. Like, really not a good game. I think he's kind of gone back into the film room, looked over what he did wrong, and is going to take this opportunity where they might have those favors stacked. They might have it stacked in their favor where he can take that opportunity to pull this one out.
Yeah, interestingly, neither team can clinch the division with a win tonight. Obviously, those two are the two main contenders, but the 49ers are still in the divisional race as well at 10-4, and the Niners actually play against the Seahawks next week. So some really pivotal matchups upcoming in the NFC West. We'll shift our focus to the Saturday slate for the first time this year, the NFL having games on a Saturday, two games this weekend, two games next weekend. All 16 games are TBD for week 18, which I think they usually do. But when I saw that, I kind of laughed out loud. That's hilarious. That's only 2 weeks from now. But before we actually dive into the marquee matchup here, and we've already previewed it a little bit, talking about one of the two teams that will be playing, I'm curious, Kate, as a concept, how do we feel about NFL Saturdays?
This is so funny to me because I don't know. I always just think of college football as Saturdays, and so I'm not a fan, but I'm also like, I will take watching football on any days, so I'm not mad about it, but I will be probably tuning in to college football on Saturday over the NFL this week, especially with playoffs. So that's my personal opinion. But then you also have like, oh, college football on a Friday, like what happens there? So I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it, and I won't be, I can tell you, I probably will not be tuning in this Saturday because of college football. So I don't know if it's like a good idea for the overlap wise. Like, I don't know if you're going to have viewers during these games, but in general, I would say maybe. I don't know. As a concept, I'm not a huge fan just because, like, I personally will not be tuning in.
Yeah,
Thomas,
I think it's
you're a big football, you're a big college football guy, so it similar rationale for you?
yeah, it's always I think it's always distinct, and I think it's easy in the fall to get overwhelmed by the amount of football that's on. And so it's helpful for there to be a distinction, like college football is Saturday, sometimes Friday, and then the NFL is Sunday, Monday, and then Thursday. I wouldn't have been that upset with a Saturday night game last week because there really wasn't college football on, but it just, yeah, there's just no one going to be, unfortunately, there's no one's going to watch this game unless you're a Green Bay or Chicago fan.
Yeah.
And that sucks, but it's just how it is.
I'm looking on Google here and I'm seeing just the history. It's ridiculous. There's a federal law called the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961. It's an antitrust act. One, that's crazy that that law exists nominally. It grants the NFL, though, an exemption now from prior antitrust laws, which would not allow the NFL to broadcast on Saturdays at all. So the NFL is generally prohibited, quote, from broadcasting games within a 75-mile radius of a high school or college game on Fridays and Saturdays between the second Friday in September and the second Saturday in December. And then the rule is lifted for this time on. And I guess it says the rule was established to protect the attendance and revenue of high school and college football games. High school games, that's crazy. But college games, I guess it makes a little more sense because the NFL could really have this level of dominance over the college realm and maybe not have allowed it to take off the way that it has from a broadcasting and media perspective. That's interesting history. I didn't know that at all. That's really funny. To talk about the actual games on Saturday, we've got a couple. Eagles playing the Commanders at 5. The Eagles are the 3 seed right now. The Commanders having a rough year. They're 4-10. They are out of the postseason. The Eagles can clinch the NFC East, which is very weak this year, with a win or a Dallas loss against Dallas. Again, Dallas just hanging on by a thread. So that game, not a whole ton of storylines there. The expectation, the Eagles take care of business, lock up the division, and they're competing for maybe a higher seed than the 3 seed, but at 9-5, that's probably where they end up. And then we have the primetime game, which, as you guys said, probably won't get as many viewers as it deserves because it should be a really good one. Packers are the 7 seed right now, 9-4-1, visiting the number 2 seed, Chicago Bears, a divisional matchup. The Bears 10-4, so just what a half game separating these two teams. Kickoff at 8:20. Both teams are 4-1 in their last 5 games. The Packers are the 10th best offense, 8th best defense, Bears 9th best offense, 21st best defense. The Bears notably have lost 12 of their last 13 against the Packers, but the Packers notably just lost Michael Parsons to an ACL tear. Two questions. One, who's winning this game? Two, do we think either of these teams are true contenders?
No. As much as I've said, I do like the Bears and I think they're a strong team and I don't think we should be underestimating them. I don't think that they're a strong contender against the Rams, for example, or even against like the Seahawks, who are technically lower than much lower than them in playoff contention. I think they could beat this Packers team. especially without Micah Parsons. But do I think either of these teams are going to be strong contenders in the playoffs? No. And that's just because the NFC, I think, is really strong this year, compared to the AFC, at least. And there's a lot more going on there. And there's a lot of teams that have not as great records that I think are could be really strong contenders, such as I think the 49ers are really good, and they could be really good contenders in the playoffs. So to me, this game is important. I think the Bears need to win this game, but it doesn't prove anything, I think. I don't think this game is going to prove that much, because they're both, to me, on like a similar playing field, and they'll make the playoffs, but I don't know if they're contender. They're definitely not Super Bowl contenders in my eyes.
I hesitate to write anyone off in this season as not a Super Bowl contender if they're in the playoffs, just because I don't think that we haven't had sort of the dominance that we've seen in previous years at like sort of the top of the conferences. Like, I think last year going into the playoffs, we knew pretty much that it was going to be either the Lions or the Eagles, and then it was going to be against the Chiefs. But I don't think there's that same sense of certainty this time around. I don't think either of these teams ends up winning the Super Bowl, but I do think they have the potential to make some noise. Both have strong defenses. Obviously, Green Bay takes a big hit with Micah Parsons being out, but I still think they have a really solid unit. I like Jordan Love. I believe it's still Toyotathon, so I think he's still sort of rolling on. And then I've expressed reservations about Caleb Williams, but I think he can make some spectacular plays sometimes, and that might just be enough to eke out you a wild card win. I think I do agree with Kate that I think Chicago needs this more. You look at their final three game slate. They play the Packers, they play the 49ers, and then they play the Lions, and the Lions are the ones chasing them for that sort of final wild card spot. So I think the Bears need this one to sort of put a little bit of distance between them and the Lions. While the Packers have a little bit more of a favorable one, obviously the Bears, the Ravens, which it could go either way, and then the Vikings, which is hopefully a sure win for this Packers team. But yeah, so I think Chicago has a little bit more a little bit more urgency to win this game. And I think they take it on Saturday Night Football.
Yeah, it's odd for a team with a better record to feel like there's more urgency, but you're right. And I think the schedule is the number one thing. If the Lions are still alive in week 18, oh my gosh. That game's probably for a playoff spot, probably for the number seven seed, assuming that, you know, either the Packers win this game or the Bears win this game and then lose the next one. That game could have some serious, serious implications. As it stands, the NFL's projection models have the Bears at a 79% chance of making the postseason, Packers at 87. Packers go up to 99 with a win, but the Bears only up to 94. And then with a loss, the Packers only dropped to 78. The Bears dropped to 62. So just based on that projection model, the Bears have much more at stake. They can't fully shore up a postseason berth with a win, and they take a big hit to their odds with a loss. And that's the story for a lot of these games on Sunday as we shift our focus that way. We'll stick to just talking about games between playoff hopefuls. There's four, and they have the potential to really shake up the playoff picture as we've seen it. We'll start with the mid-off. Tampa Bay, Carolina. Every year there's one division, maybe two, the AFC North you could say as well, where you can say with utter confidence no team is a contender. But due to the NFL's rules, one team has to make it. One team has to be the four seed. One team has to host a playoff game, which is pretty crazy to think about. But that is the reality, and it's going to be Tampa or Carolina, both teams 7-7. They play not just this week in week 16, but again in week 18. So huge, huge implications for these two teams. Tampa's been really bad lately, frankly. Carolina has been uneven, but certainly beating expectations. Guys, I don't even know what to think about this game. I think the thought that we have as fans for a prolonged period of time is, all right, like Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield, that's the better team. But Bryce Young's shown a lot, this Carolina unit as a whole. Certainly the defense has been better than expected, and it feels like everything's going wrong for the Buccaneers, especially after last week. I don't even know what to make of this. This is a home game for Carolina as well. I want to say that they're favored by a little bit. I'll go check up on that. What do you guys have?
Yeah, I mean, the Bucs defense is my biggest concern. And since week 10, they've ranked the 29th in points per game allowed with 29.3 and 30th in yards per game allowed with 384. I mean, obviously they're 1-5 in the last six games, and it just seems like they started out so strong and there was so much hype around them, and we're like, whoa, what are they gonna do? This is crazy. And then it's just slowly kind of slink down. And Baker Mayfield is very good. And that's not something I'm contending with, but I think the defense is going to be a struggle. And again, you said Bryce Young is starting to show some like really strong playing making abilities. And so I don't know. I feel like I don't even know if I can say, oh yeah, the
What if they?
Panthers are
I
going to
think they might
win.
tie. Seriously, I think they might tie.
Since we're letting ties happen now, maybe.
I would not be shocked. I would not be
Yeah.
shocked. It would be great for our social media. We're recording right now. This feels like a tie. This feels like a tie, Thomas.
it definitely does. There's some weird permutation that if they split the series and then both lose, like if Tampa loses against the Dolphins and then Carolina loses against the Seahawks, they're like identical in like conference record. Obviously, head to head is the same. And it goes to like strength of schedule. So then they're cheering for other teams to win and lose. It's a very interesting scenario. And it wouldn't surprise me if it does happen because both teams, I thought Tampa Bay was surefire to easily win this division about by week seven. And then Baker Mayfield, I don't know what's gone wrong with him, but he's fallen off a cliff. He's missing easy throws. I don't know what's happening with him. And I watch him sometimes and it's confusing to me. But then the Panthers also aren't convincing me either. A couple of impressive wins against the Cowboys, against the Rams, but then some just really strange losses. They get blown out by the Bills, which, it happens. They lose just kind of pitifully to the 49ers, and then they get swept by the Saints. So it's a confusing division to be in. I think it's ridiculous that either team has the honor of hosting a wild card game because they don't deserve to with a losing record. But yeah, I don't know who to choose because Bryce Young, he's every time it he seems to be on the hot seat, he finds a way to play like an NFL quarterback, and then he did then that version of Bryce Young disappears for a couple games, and then it comes back. It just really depends on which versions of the QBs we're going to see in these next two games for both teams. I think if Baker can play at the level that we saw at the beginning of the season, I think Tampa easily takes these. But if Bryce Young can have sort of a miraculous performance, I think Carolina, I don't think the Rams would be happy to face Carolina, to be honest, just because of how successful that Carolina team was against that Rams defense. But yeah, I think a tie seems the most likely result, to be honest. I don't think either team deserves to make the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if Manfred steps in and Goodell,
Oh.
Manfred, wrong sport, that's on me. If Goodell steps in and says neither team deserves to make it, because I think the lines would be
Oh
more fun to watch
my
than
gosh,
either of
yeah.
these two teams.
It's hilarious to think that the Lions are most likely going to miss the playoffs and one of these teams will be in it. And it does feel like that situation is going to happen where both team loses in week 17, even though Tampa's playing Miami. Miami just benched Tua. So you'd have to think that Tampa's like favored in
Yeah.
that game, even though it's in Miami. And then Carolina should get, the brakes blown off of them by Seattle. Kate, as you said, Tampa lost five of its last six. Carolina has lost five straight against NFC South teams. The Bucks have won all five times that these teams have met in the Bryce Young era. But I kind of like the way that you put it, Thomas, when there's all these external factors and we're having this conversation, laughing about these two teams. You know, given all the circumstances, that it's going to be close. Neither of these quarterbacks have been convincing in the past several weeks, but it's going to come down to which team or which quarterback is going to be able to lead a drive in the fourth quarter to win that game. And for me, I think Baker Mayfield is the guy that I trust just way more than Bryce Young in this Carolina unit. And from a talent standpoint, I mean, the discrepancy is huge offensively between these two teams. So it's hard not to pick Tampa, but man, they have struggled recently. And the Detroit Lions have a little bit as well. A huge game for them in the 425 slate, playing and hosting against a Pittsburgh team that should win the AFC North. Pittsburgh currently the 4 seed at 8-6. The Lions are 8-6 as well, and they're the 8 seed. And that kind of, again, gives you a glimpse of, you know, maybe some of the flaws of the playoff structure in the NFL at the current moment. Steelers can't clinch, but a win gives them a 76% chance to make the playoffs. Remember, the Ravens are 7-7, so only one game back. Detroit's odds move up to 45% with a win. They're currently at 36%, but they drop all the way down to 13% with a loss. So a must-win game for Detroit at home against a Pittsburgh team that's feeling pretty comfortable. My leanings are with the Lions, who I think are just flat out the better team as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking as well. I think this Lions defense specifically felt pretty humiliated with a really poor performance against a Rams team. So I think that there's a little bit of desperation. The Steelers team continues to confuse me because Aaron Rodgers just looks good and then doesn't look good. Like I can't figure the Steelers team out. But the Steelers team doesn't necessarily need to win this game. They really just need to win the game against the Ravens in week 18. So I think the Lions just have a little bit more incentive to play for, and I think they take this one easily.
I agree. I think of course the Lions need this, but I also think it's just a game where, again, as you said, Joe, the Lions are just plainly a better team, and I see them taking this one. However, I mean, they've never beat the Steelers in this century, at least. So,
oh my God,
I don't know. I feel like this is going to be definitely a more difficult game. Yeah, this is going to be a more difficult game than we hope it will be, because I want the Lions to win. I really am pushing for them to have this win and make the playoffs, as it looks like they're probably not going to do, but I want them to make the playoffs. I feel like they are, as we talked about, everyone feels like a wishy-washer contender, and they feel like they could be an actual contender if they made the playoffs. So I do want to see them go pretty far. But I do feel like this is going to be a close game.
It should be a close game, absolutely. The Steelers are just one of those teams. Obviously, the whole winning record streak, they got to hit their 9-win requisite. So that's something to play for. No more, no less. Got to get 9 wins. Aaron Rodgers at the helm. He's been inconsistent, but he is Aaron Rodgers. So you trust him late in the game. Detroit has had trouble pulling away in games. 41-34, the loss last week. It's against the Rams. It's a great team. So it's a difficult one. But you have to lean with the Lions. I think, as we all said, more to play for, the better team. And speaking of the better team, we'll move on to Sunday Night Football, because I was listening to the radio when I was driving earlier today. Obviously, I'm in New England, so I've got Boston Sports Talk on. Sunday Night Football, Patriots, current 2 seed, coming off the loss, 11-3, visiting the Ravens, currently ranked number 9, but still in the playoff chase. They're 7-7. Ravens playoff odds rise to 49% with a win. Patriots almost certain to make the postseason. They can clinch a playoff spot with a win or a Houston or Indianapolis loss. But after last week, after what we saw in the second half, Thomas, not just this game, and we can talk about this game, but overall, when you look at the AFC playoff picture, I'm curious, because me and Kate are as biased as can be. I try to be unbiased. I say the Bills are the number 1 team, but I still would put the Patriots number 2. And I still like the Patriots odds against anyone. But you look down the list here. Where do you power rank the Patriots among the AFC playoff teams?
I think I mean, I think it's they're right there with the Bills. And I, if prior to, if you asked me at halftime of the game last week, I would have said the Patriots are easily the Super Bowl favorites for going to the Super Bowl. And then I don't know what happened in the second half. I'm sure neither of you were pleased to see that, but you know, just disaster strikes, Josh Allen happens, you know, and the Bills end up taking that one. And I think that just, I think that plants a little bit of a seed of doubt in the back of all the Patriots players' minds of saying that throughout the season, it's always been the Patriots have been the one seed. They've been in control. But now that they lost in that fashion to the Bills, I think there's a doubt of being like the Bills are still sort of inevitable in a way that, you know, the Chiefs have been in prior years. And with the AFC so wide open, I still have the Patriots at that one and a half spot. I think it's like 1A, 1B with them and the Bills. But I think if they get the number one seed and secure home field advantage, I think that's huge for this Patriots team and sort of the vibes that they're building.
Yeah, I like that word you used, inevitable. That's what it feels like with the Bills. And that's, as we talked about earlier, that's what it felt like with those four teams last year, with Buffalo, Kansas City, Philadelphia, and Detroit. Those are the four dominant teams. Two of those four teams are making the Super Bowl. To me, the Bills are the only one team remaining that, to me, is a top four Super Bowl contender this season. And inevitability, Josh Allen, a true elite quarterback having an elite year compared to two guys on the other side of the spectrum in this game, and Drake May, who's having an elite year despite not being expected to have taken this kind of leap, and Lamar Jackson coming off of a second place MVP finish, who has had a really, really rough year. Kate, I know you're biased, but we'll get your quick thoughts on this game.
Well, honestly, I mean, we talk about history. If we go back to the Bills, it seems like this could be the Bills' year, especially with the Chiefs out of the playoffs. That was kind of like their big stopper. That was their, you know, their villain, the person that was always going to shut them down. Now that they're out of the way, is this the Bills' year? I don't know. Unbiased opinion, I think this is the Bills' year. They are so strong. They shut down the Patriots so quickly in the second half. And that was something that I noticed and has kind of noticed all season, is New England is leading the NFL in scoring offense in the first half, but is, I think, 22nd or 23rd in second half scoring. That's an issue that I presented with, of if you can't play well in the second half, then what you're doing in the first half doesn't really matter, as we saw in that game against the Bills. So I don't know if this is going to be a concern for me against the Ravens. I think the Ravens are good. I don't know if they're good enough, but it's definitely something to think about if the Patriots are going to try to do, obviously they're going to do as well as they can to work up their way to the Super Bowl. But that's really my biggest concern, is the way that they're going to play offensively in the second half when their other teams are applying much more pressure in the second half than the first half. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to push even further offensively? That's something that I want to see, especially out of the Patriots. But yeah, I think, like you said, Thomas, the Bills, I think, are inevitable. I think that's my unbiased pick for the Super Bowl on the AFC side this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a big test for a Patriots team that hasn't had the experience of responding to a loss in literally 11 weeks. So that's one thing to know. Also, the injuries really starting to pile up. The offensive line has been an issue with Will Campbell out. So the left side of the line is quite hampered. But then on the defensive side, really thin at the linebacker position, a lot of injuries there, and at cornerback as well, pretty thin. So those are some things to highlight for New England. I still like them in this game against the Ravens. I really trust Mike Vrabel and his ability to teach his team and lead his team off of a loss and keep this team chugging forward. But it's going to be a pretty big test against a Ravens team that's had a rough year, but still is as talented really as almost anyone in the AFC. So no gimmies there. And speaking of injuries, the last game we have to cover between two of the most battered and bruised teams in the league, it's Monday Night Football. It's the 10-4 San Francisco 49ers, the number 6 seed right now in the NFC, who have been dealing with injuries on both sides of the ball. really since the dawn of time. I can't remember a season in which they haven't been one of, if not the most injured team in the league. But this year, unlike last, they've really figured it out and found a way to continue to contend through that. And then for Indianapolis, you know the story, 8-6. They're now the number 8 seed, so they're on the outside looking in. They're starting a grandpa, a quarterback again. Philip Rivers, according to Shane Steichen on Monday, said he's going to be the starter once again, even though Anthony Richardson is back at practice. So one of the craziest storylines for me, not just in the NFL, but in sports in recent history. We get one more week of that, and it would be so special to see. I think when Philip Rivers runs out for this game in Indianapolis, the ovation he's going to get. I mean, that is going to be a sports moment that we remember for a long time, that these AI sports pages are going to be posting weekly for the next 10 years with a caption written with like five M dashes by ChatGPT. This is going to be a special moment in a special game that means a ton too. It's the fact that it's not just that he's starting and it's this little end of the season fun story for a team that's out of the postseason. They need to win this game. They're not confirmed out if they lose, but they really need to win this game. So Philip Rivers, literally off the couch with a beer belly, was coaching high school football, is a grandpa, is starting in one of the bigger games of his entire career at age 46. It's hard not to root for the Colts, but both of these teams have kind of been feel-good stories throughout the season. My allegiances are with Indianapolis, which is, I think, this is probably the first time I've ever said those words in my entire life as a Patriots fan. But that's how I'm feeling about this game. Do you guys, I mean, how do you convince yourself not to pick the Colts to win this game?
I mean, I think it's tough. I mean, like this 49ers team is like obviously very, very talented, and it's they're such a joy to watch, I think, because of Kyle Shanahan's play calling. I think just the creativity with his play calling, and then Christian McCaffrey is obviously one of the greatest players to watch of our generation. But yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a feel-good story for this Colts team. I would say it's bringing Philip Rivers off. I mean, he hasn't played in 5 years. I think it's a little bit insulting to the rest of the backup quarterbacks and like the free agent
Oh my
quarterbacks. Like,
gosh. Imagine how, like, I would be so upset. There's
oh
like
yeah.
50 guys that are on the fringe of the league, maybe bouncing around practice squads that aren't getting a call, but Philip Rivers is. It's awesome. I don't have a problem with it, but I would be offended.
I unfortunately didn't get to watch the game last week, but
It's special.
like
It's
it, I mean,
it is a laborious task for him to throw that football.
yeah, like on Twitter, like or X, I should say, I was like there was like a compilation of him like throwing the ball, and he looks like he's in so much pain
Oh my God.
throwing the ball, and it's like it's difficult for him to like grip the ball, and I feel bad for him. I mean, he threw a touchdown pass. Was it like the greatest throw I've ever seen? No, but I mean, he got the job done. He did what Sam Darnold couldn't. Sam Darnold didn't throw a touchdown last game. So if Indianapolis can somehow, some way pull out a result, and if by some stretch of the imagination make the playoffs, I mean, that's got to be one of the greatest sports stories of all time. Coming off your couch, 5 years of retirement. I mean, he's got 9 kids. For goodness sake. And he's coming out of here and he's balling. And if he leads this Colts team to a playoff, I mean, just incredible, speechless.
Yeah, I mean, they played not well. I can't say well against the Seahawks, but they put up 16 points against the Seahawks, 18-16. That means that they have it in them, right? And it's so funny to watch him play because it feels like I'm watching my dad play football.
No, it
It's the
really
same
does.
exact mannerisms that like my dad will make, where he's like, "Oh, my back." And I'm like, "What is
You
going on?"
feel the soreness.
Exactly. I'm like, "What are you doing here?" And the fact that they probably have so many guys that they could go to and they went to him. It's just, I mean, of course, it's the story, but I do think that the 49ers will pull out this win. I think it will be closer than we might expect, but when you have Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle on your side, like offensively, at least, I do think that the 49ers will be able to take this away. But if the Colts can do it, I will be happily surprised. I will be very happy about that.
Yeah, I think all jokes aside, the Niners should win this game. But should Indianapolis win, it brings up this really funny scenario where you've stayed alive another week with Philip Rivers as your quarterback, leading you to this win. Anthony Richardson will be healthy enough to play next week, we can presume. One, if you're Anthony Richardson, how do you come back from Philip Rivers being chosen over you if that were to happen? And two, the Colts, like, that's a tough decision to make. Like, I don't trust Anthony Richardson at all. Obviously, at this point, physically, he's the more gifted player. I mean, I would pay anything to see Philip Rivers get chosen over, no disrespect to Anthony Richardson. He's an incredibly talented player, and I hope that whether it's with Indianapolis or another team, he gets another shot to figure things out. It would just be so special to see Philip Rivers go on this run. And that's as someone who's like never felt any way towards Philip Rivers. Like, I never was like, oh, I'm a big Philip Rivers guy. I'm not sure how many people are besides Chargers fans and Colts fans. But oh my gosh, that would be amazing. And to recap and talk once more about this playoff situation for both San Fran and Indy, it's a couple of teams almost certain to lose their divisional race, but looking to make the wild card. San Fran given 99%+ odds to make the playoffs in some capacity with a win. Again, still kind of contending for the NFC West, a game behind the Rams and the Seahawks. Just a 25% chance for the Colts to make the postseason with a win. So it feels like a true must-win game, just to tell you the magnitude of the situation here. AFC wild card above them. The Chargers are 10-4. The Bills are 10-4. The Texans are 9-5. To me, those are all good teams. Those are all teams that should make the playoffs. So it would be a difficult task for Indianapolis. Last thing to leave you guys off with. Of these five teams that you could say are in the hunt, not in the postseason right now, got the Colts at 8-6. You've got the Ravens at 7-7, a game back of the Steelers. You've got the Lions at 8-6. You've got the Panthers at 7-7. You've got the Cowboys at 6-7-1. But almost certain not to make the postseason. Their odds are at 1% right now. So of those five teams, we're really four teams. Which team, not which team's the best team, but situationally speaking, which team are you most expecting to make the postseason?
I hope and pray that the Lions make the postseason. And I think, I mean, based off of what their current probability is, I think they're, 37% right now and 47% with this win on Sunday. Plus, they also have, they're going to play the Vikings and the Bears. The Vikings should be, an easy win. The Bears, hopefully also a win for the Lions. And if that happens, I think they will make the playoffs, which would be very exciting. I also think that technically the Ravens could have a chance. I mean, obviously all of them could have a chance, but the Ravens and the Lions, I would say, in my eyes, based on their schedules coming ahead, I think have the biggest possibility of making it. But I do hope the Lions make the playoffs. I think they'll be the most interesting to watch play in those games.
Yeah, I think if this Detroit team, I mean, they basically got to win out. I think if they can get hot, their offense is pretty much all healthy, obviously a couple key injuries on defense. But if this Lions team gets hot and sneaks into the playoffs by, you know, some way, I think this is, it's a really dangerous Detroit team. I think they can make a lot of noise. And I don't think any team from in the playoff picture would be excited to play this Detroit team. And then I agree. I think this Ravens team, it's very similar to this Detroit team. Like they're, playoff destiny, it's in their control. They just have to win one against either the Packers or the Patriots, and then they have to beat the Steelers. And I think this Ravens team is talented enough. I think Lamar Jackson is talented enough. Obviously, he hasn't been playing his greatest football this season, but I think he's good enough to make that happen. And again, I think I mean, if they sneak into the playoffs, they get to host a playoff game, and I think that's a good outcome for them. And that we've like we've mentioned, I think this AFC title race is open to a certain extent. Obviously, we have the Bills and the Patriots as the front runners, but I think this Ravens team, if they can somehow make it into the playoffs, I think would feel pretty good about their chances.
It would likely take a big win against New England on Sunday night. With a loss, the Ravens sit at just a 27% chance of making the playoffs, but with a win, it jumps to a coin flip, 49%. And as you said, Thomas, like, this is a team, and similar with the Lions, a team that has not had the prettiest of seasons, still hasn't even put it together at this point. It's not like they've come alive fully, but it's too late. There, I don't think you could say that confidently yet, even though last week was a good step. Imagine over the next 3 weeks that either of these teams do get hot. Not only can they make the playoffs, but the Ravens, I mean, the Ravens at their best, with Lamar Jackson playing like an MVP, are a legit contender. And it's not to say that they are right now at this point, but if they run the table, if they make the postseason, which is going to be a tall task, but I think the most possible route is certainly looking at the division and finding a way to beat the Steelers, who, you know, have no easy task this week against Detroit. These teams actually can kind of help each other, Baltimore and Detroit, over these next 3 weeks. Man, I think the Ravens could be a really scary team in the postseason and situation where they'd be hosting a playoff game. And in a way where the Colts and Panthers and Cowboys really aren't, both of these teams, if they make the postseason, the Ravens and the Lions can genuinely win games. Like, I would imagine the Lions make the postseason as a 7 seed. You spend your whole season, you play as hard as possible, and as the 2 seed in the wild card, you have to host the Lions. I mean, a team that legit could win the Super Bowl. That's something to behold, but I think it speaks volumes to the season that we're watching, and I think we just have to be grateful that there's this amount of parity, that as we head towards week 16, it's not this conversation as it's been really for decades of there's X number of dominant teams and then the rest. It's, we got to figure out which teams are the dominant teams, which teams are the true Super Bowl favorites, because this playoff picture in the best possible way is an absolute mess. And I love it that way. Week 16 on deck. Hopefully everyone, if you're a student, is done with finals, otherwise able to carve out some time to watch some football over the next week plus. That's going to be all for this week on NFL Friday, a packed slate of games to ring in the holiday season. For Kate Cox and Thomas Tisdale, I'm Joe Henry, wishing you another fun week of football viewing. NFL Friday is a production of WFUV Sports.